We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys here on Late Night. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Oh, my goodness. I just got distracted. I happen to think Lucy is incredibly cute, and she changed her profile picture on Twitter, and she went from cute to stunning. So it just completely distracted me. My train of thought is gone. Like, just wiped out.
Hey, not, beautiful lady can do that to you.
It's completely. Know what's special about her? There's nothing prettier than a girl that can wake up in the morning and throw on a baseball cap and no makeup and be good looking, but then put on that kind of dress with that much makeup and still be good looking. You know,
you get the best of both worlds.
That's exactly it. So that's enough of that. I need to get back on. I need to think about Isaiah Thomas and calm myself down here. But it is Sports Radio WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937, talking about the Celtics, talking about, you know, not only what we watched last night, because that was certainly a special event to watch. And every time the Celtics do this, you think back to Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, all these great tribute videos that they've done. I really believe that nobody does it better than the Celtics. And somewhere I was hoping last night that Anthony Davis's father was watching that thing. You know, because Anthony Davis's father is the guy that came out in the middle of this whole mess that happened 6-8 weeks ago, right? And he was the guy that said, oh, you know, the Celtics, they did Isaiah Thomas dirty. I don't want my son going there. There's no loyalty, yada, yada, yada. I was hoping Anthony Davis's father was watching that to see the kind of loyalty the fans show a player like Isaiah Thomas, the kind of mutual love, respect, and admiration that goes both ways. You know, Isaiah Thomas earned it. Therefore, he got it. You know what I mean? He earned it on the court. He earned it in the community. That's why there was the outpouring of emotion, the outpouring of love that was felt on both sides last night. You know, a lot of times in professional sports, these relationships, they're not a two-way street. They're very much a one-way street. But in some rare occasions, think about a guy like Paul Pierce, Isaiah Thomas, it really is a two-way relationship between the fans and the player. And to me, that's what takes moments like last night up to a completely different level, where the hair does stand up on the back of your neck and on your arms, and you really do get the full effect of just how meaningful and impactful that moment was. So I feel like, really and truly, the Celtics, they're missing this particular group. They're missing that type of connection with the fan base, and that's why their ratings are down. That's why their likability isn't where it used to be. Not to say that this team isn't more talented than IT's teams were. It's just that IT's teams had much more of a real connection with the fans and with the city. Yeah, this team's an enigma. I'm struggling with 11 games to go to figure out exactly where this team is going to finish and exactly what their ceiling is in the playoffs. The Celtics fan in me, the guy that got their logo tattooed on my arm when I was 17 years old, that guy wants to tell you that I believe that they can live up to Las Vegas's expectations and make it to the NBA Finals. But the guy that watches the NBA on a night-in and night-out basis and gets paid for my opinion tells you that I'm not sure, because this team looks like a team. This team actually defines the type of team that needs home court advantage. They need that extra edge, that extra little advantage by getting that extra game at the Garden. They're an immature basketball team, and having that little bit, that little something extra, that game 7 at home, really does help younger and more immature basketball teams, because winning on the road in the NBA is difficult. And this team, it looks like to me, outside of the first round, it doesn't look like they're going to have much of an opportunity to have any kind of home court advantage in the playoffs. So while their talent level may be there, I'm not sure that situationally they're going to put themselves in a place where they can actually make it to the conference finals or even the NBA finals. So it is Sports Radio WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Get back out to these calls. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon's in North Carolina. Brandon, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, I was going to talk about the injuries in the playoffs, but you got me with Anthony Davis's dad. One thing his dad needs to remember, we didn't do IT wrong. Yeah, if you're going to be personal about it and not look at it from a business aspect, then I could see that. But a business aspect, you took a good player who was going to be injured for at least a year, if not two, and not knowing how well he'd come back, and upgraded to what was one of the top five players in the league. So being told he was done wrong, yeah, to the community and everything he did was great. But from a business aspect, it was a move that needed to be made at the time.
And you're 1,000% right about that. And that's why I feel like that whole thing with Anthony Davis's father, that was all part of the Rich Paul production. You know, everything coming out of Los Angeles and LeBron James and his agent. I feel like that was all part of trying to make Boston look bad.
Now, when it comes to the playoffs, I get what you're saying, but the two teams that scare us the most is Toronto and Milwaukee. Well, Milwaukee is without one of their starters for 6 to 8 weeks, and now Lowry, or however you pronounce his name, he's done for a little while. I don't care what they say about him being evaluated in a week from now. That injury, I think he's going to miss more than just a couple weeks. And if that's what's happening and those two guys are down, and all we really have to worry about is the Sixers, and we do get a win tomorrow night and cut it to 2 with 10 games to go, if we can move up to 3 and make the Sixers move down to 4 or 5, I don't know why we couldn't make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals without there being an issue.
I hope you're right, but you know that's predicated on moving up to 3. And you know, right now, Brandon, with 11 games to go, you're trailing the 3 seed by 3 games right now. So it's going to be really hard to move out all the way up to that 3 seed.
Well, with having the Sixers number, like the way we've played the Sixers, I'm with you. We have to have home court. For whatever reason, playoff atmosphere at home is unbelievable. We lose regular Sunday night games against the Denver Nuggets and teams like that during the regular season. But Beantown, the Garden, in a playoff atmosphere is a whole different level than the regular season.
Yep. It is. And, you know, the Celtics over the years, you know, if you're a Celtics fan, you know, we saw it in 2008, the Celtics, they needed home court to beat Atlanta and then to beat Cleveland. You know, if they don't beat Atlanta in Game 7, they lose in the first round, let alone winning a championship. Then they needed Game 7 to beat Cleveland in the second round. We saw it again last year, the importance of home court advantage. You know, this Celtics team, for whatever reason, not only is home court advantage a big deal in the NBA, Brandon, but it's a really big deal in Boston because, let's face it, a Game 7 in the Garden, it doesn't get much louder and much more emotional than that.
Well, I'll let you go after this, but I'm kind of playing the homer card. I get a feeling that something's going to turn. We've been waiting for it all season. We see little sparks of it occasionally here and there, like against the Warriors on the road. And I just, being a homer, man, I really think we can make a run at it. And I'm hoping I'm right.
Brandon, I'm hoping you're right as well. You know, and that's the thing. Being on the radio, I've got to balance my homerism with my professionalism. I have to because, look, I would love – ask my friends that I grew up with. They'll tell you that if the Celtics are down 12 with a minute and 12 seconds to go, I pick up the phone. I say, okay, they hit a 3, then they get a quick steal and hit another 3. Now it's a 6-point game with 56 seconds to go, and we're back in this thing. That's who I am. That's how I'm wired. So I'm the guy that's going to say at the beginning of the season, hey, they got as good a chance as anybody, regardless of the – lack of talent on their roster. It's how I'm programmed. It's how I'm wired. What's frustrating about this particular group of Celtics is that they've got the talent. They can make a run. You know, the talent isn't the problem here. It's everything else. And the one thing that really continues to set this team back, and I've said this a bunch of times this season, and some people, they just don't see it. I don't care that Gordon Hayward is a shell of himself right now. I don't. I don't care if he averages 10 points a game, 8 points a game, or 18 points a game. The importance that he has on this basketball team cannot be overstated. As long as he's in the second unit, he is the reason why the ball moves in the second unit. When he's not out there, now he's out for the second straight game with a concussion, watch the ball. It stops moving. Gordon Hayward is an elite playmaker. He's a guy that at his size, at his position, not only can he rebound the basketball, take it down the floor, and create for his teammates. If you go back and watch what he did in Utah, the Jazz essentially used him as a 6'7" point guard. All right, everything offensively went through Gordon Hayward. Watch how crisp and beautiful the Celtics' ball movement is when Gordon Hayward is on the floor. Watch how pretty it is when he's on the floor, sharing the floor with Al Horford. And then you see what the Celtics basketball team is supposed to be all about. Unfortunately, when they get into the second unit, and this is where they've had a lot of their problems, when they get to that second unit, you've got a bunch of guys on the floor that are gunners, and the ball stops moving. Everybody wants to be a hero. And that's when the Celtics run into trouble. And right now, with Gordon Hayward out for his second consecutive game, in what's going to be a very big game on the road against your rival, the Sixers, that are going to be looking to prove a point, and they are. That's the thing. This is going to be a very emotional game for the Sixers because they know it and they know the Celtics know it. Look, they want to prove a point to the Boston Celtics and prove that whatever the Celtics' dominant record is, and it's like 23-3 in their last 26 games, that's irrelevant. This is a new look Sixers team with Tobias Harris, with Jimmy Butler. They've come together. They're healthy. They've gelled. And they want to prove to the Celtics that the previous success that the Celtics have had against Philadelphia, that's meaningless. It's useless. It's nothing. So if you're a Celtics fan, if you're a Celtic player, you better believe that you're going to go into Philadelphia tomorrow night and expect to get punched in the face. And that's been one of the biggest problems the Celtics team has had all season long. Most of the time when they get punched, they run back to their mother. They don't punch back. They run home to mommy and cry. That's not what a winner does. You got to punch back. Anyways, it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Look, when we come back, we're going to start to talk about some of this baseball stuff, $400 million contracts. And locally here in Boston, a lot of talk about Mookie Betts getting his. I don't see it. I mean, he's going to get paid, but he's not going to get $400 million. He might not even get $300 million. Only so many of these contracts to go around, and I'm not sure. I just don't see it. And Dustin Pedroia? Why is he still on the active roster? I think he's going to be useless. And it sucks to say it, but I don't see a role for Dustin Pedroia on the 2019-2020 Boston Red Sox. Do you? We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Sports Radio, WEI. Well, a pizza and a pizza. No, they are awesome. They are the talk of the town. I'm trying to get into the fact that baseball season's just about here, but it's still too damn cold out. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I'm one of these
guys. We're getting more snow too.
What? When? I didn't hear that.
I'm pretty sure it's Thursday.
Really? Do you have any idea how much? Because I haven't.
I heard nor'eastern, but you never know with these weathermen.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Are you joking? No, you're not joking. You're serious.
No, I'm 100% serious. My father's like a weatherman. He gives me the update every day.
You kind of just ruined my night. I'm telling you right now, I legitimately just bought a convertible. I'm desperate for it. Like, it's my summer car. It's just a piece of crap convertible, but I've wanted one for years because summers are so short here. So I wanted something to help embrace the summer.
Well, it's supposed to be 60 on Sunday, so.
Well, yeah, whatever. It doesn't help me. You said there's a nor'easter coming. It I want to feel like it's baseball season. And I'm one of these guys, I guess it makes me, I don't know, not the toughest guy in the world, but I don't like going to baseball games in April. And I don't like going when it's cold in, you know, September. I'll go in October when you're in a playoff game. But there's nothing worse than a meaningless late September game when it's 40 degrees and raw.
What, September call-ups doesn't give it for you?
It doesn't do it for me. But I'm thinking about Dustin Pedroia, right? And thinking about what his role is going to be in this Red Sox team this year. And it's funny, listening to Bradford, listening to other people on the station, I feel like a lot of times in this conversation, people let their emotions determine what they're going to say. And when it comes to Pedroia, the fact is this. The Red Sox, they won the World Series without him. He is still, well, last time he played regularly, he was still a good baseball player. 2017, his numbers were the worst in his career, but he was still a good baseball player. And I don't know what he's got left in the tank. I really don't. But it's not encouraging to me, the fact that he's starting the season on, you know, away from the team. It doesn't exude a lot of confidence in me. He's 35 years old. He missed all of last season with the exception of like 2-3 games. He had this sort of very rare reconstructive surgery that's really never been done before on his knee, and it didn't work out. So now he's doing it, you know, he's coming back for a second time from this surgery. So I just wonder if fans have their expectations in line with reality. Because I heard some callers today and yesterday. So yesterday on 98.5, I heard a couple of calls. And then today on one of the shows this morning, I heard some people. And the expectations for Pedroia are like, fans are expecting him to be Dustin Pedroia. They're expecting him to be a very good, if not great, defensive second baseman. And they're expecting him to hit close to 300. And I just don't understand how we can expect a guy that's coming off major reconstructive surgery, a guy that hasn't played in a year, and a guy that's 35 years old. Those are three huge strikes against him. And I feel like fans are just setting themselves up to be disappointed. If in my best case scenario, when it comes to Pedroia, I'm thinking he's going to be a guy that plays 60 to 75 games. I don't see
if
him
that.
Yeah, like that's max, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I can see where fans go with the whole Pedroia thing. His last couple of years, he batted 280, 290, 300. He did well, and then he got injured, and it fell off last year because when he come back, he re-injured again. But when you look at it, I mean, they expect him to come back, but in baseball, you get that specific injury that it takes time to get back in the batter's box and see pitches. It takes time to get it back. It's not going to be like a Gordon Hayward thing. This thing could take more than a year.
Well, that's the thing with Gordon Hayward where, you know, it's taken more than a year to get him looking like Gordon Hayward. And now we're starting to see flashes of it. But for the most part, you know, I'm going to say 90% of the time he's been on the court this year, he hasn't looked like the guy the Celtics made the sixth richest player in the NBA. But in the NBA, Joe, the only way to get a guy back is to play him. You know what I mean? So the Celtics, they've been forced to play almost undermanned for 25, 30 minutes a night. It was Kevin Durant a couple of months ago that said the Celtics, it was like they were playing 5-on-4 for stretches out there because they've got no choice. The only way to make Gordon Hayward get all the way back is to play him every night, to get his timing back, get his confidence back, get him his athleticism back, all that stuff. With Pedroia, I mean, is it the same thing with baseball, or can you get all that back while playing, you know, simulated games or playing in AAA? Can you get everything that you need to get to come back to the major league level and be a contributing player without actually taking up a roster spot on the major league level?
Well, there's only 8 spots, you know, remember, too. I mean, you don't count, I mean, 7 technically if you want to get, like, technical, because I don't count pitchers and catchers.
That's right. Complete.
You're not a second baseman going to catch in a major league game.
Right. So I mean, the whole thing with Pedroia is I was blown away by hearing fans' expectations, and I feel like it's a case of wishful thinking, and I get it. I mean, we all grew up with Dustin Pedroia. You know, he's one of the holdover dirt dog players. He defines everything that we love about a Boston athlete, an undersized guy that overcame limitations and exceeded all expectations, won an MVP award, and someday he's going to go down in history as one of the greatest Red Sox players ever. But at some point here, don't we sort of have to accept the fact that it's probably done for Dustin Pedroia? Like, the likelihood of him actually making a successful comeback this year, I'm going to put it at maybe 25%, 30%, that this year ends in a good way for Dustin Pedroia, without him being on the injured list again. You know, that this year ends with him being healthy and happy and part of a winning organization here. I just don't see how we're going to get from where he's coming from to where fans expect him to be without something hampering him along the way. Because remember, Joe, it's more than just the knee injury. The last handful of years he was playing active baseball, he had the wrist injury, he had a leg injury, he had another knee injury before the one that he had the surgery with.
Yeah, I mean, that old man syndrome.
Exactly. It seemed like every week there was something else that he was dealing with, which is what happens, by the way, when you're somebody of his size that's overextending yourself for a decade plus in Major League Baseball.
Everyone except Julio Franco.
That
man was a god. 45.
And still out there doing it. And there's a few guys that can do that. But Dustin Pedroia, you know, much like a guy like Isaiah Thomas, he maximized everything that his God-given body gave him. But at some point, it starts to fall apart. I want to see him succeed. And he's one of the few Red Sox players that are left from my childhood. Like, I want to see him succeed, and I want to see the comeback story complete. But I'm sorry, listening to fans call in and actually have legitimate expectations for this guy to be a meaningful, impactful player for the 2019 Boston Red Sox, I feel like you're crazy. I feel like at this point, everybody should be happy understanding that your team, you won a World Series, and you've got a potential future Hall of Fame player that didn't contribute. So if you get anything from him this year, it should be considered a bonus. That's it. It's like extra. It's gravy. If the Red Sox are going into this season, or Red Sox fans are going into this season, actually expecting meaningful and impactful contributions from that guy, I feel like you're setting yourself up for massive failure and massive disappointment, because he's shown absolutely nothing from the time that he first went under the knife over a year ago to where we're at now. He's shown nothing when it comes to his ability to actually complete a successful comeback from this surgery. And I can't stress this enough, because, you know, covering the whole Gordon Hayward injury situation, Well, we talked about it here when we had his agent on the program. The second surgery didn't get any coverage in the media. But ultimately, it was the second surgery that kept him out of training camp, kept him out of playing 5-on-5 in the summer, and it was the second surgery that is solely responsible for him looking a step behind this season. With Dustin Pedroia, the surgery that he had, everybody's just saying reconstructive knee surgery. That is such a generalized term. The surgery that he had was borderline experimental. I mean, this is the type of surgery that most players, if they get it, they don't come back from it. This is a risky surgery that can go one of two ways. It can either get you back or it can end your career. This wasn't going in and scoping out his knee. It wasn't some sort of a cleanup. This was major reconstructive surgery in his knee. And if last year is any indication, well, the reconstruction didn't go as planned. You know, and it sucks that you're going to have a guy on this Red Sox roster that is beloved here in Boston. And there's nothing worse than watching a guy play through his final year or two unable to even resemble the guy that he used to be, which is what makes David Ortiz's retirement at the time that he did it so unique and so special. We all wanted him to come back for another year, maybe two, because he was still capable of hitting 35, 40 home runs and driving in 100 runs. And that's who he still was. The moment he walked away from baseball, he was still one of the most impactful power hitters in the game, despite his age, despite the fact that he's been playing forever. Yeah, he was still Big Poppy when he walked away. And it's so rare, especially in baseball, I feel like, where players walk away and they're still the player that we remember them being in the prime of their careers. This guy in Dustin Pedroia, I feel like he hasn't been Petey since 2013. Like, I feel like he hasn't been that guy, like the small little heroic player that the whole city can identify with. I feel like he hasn't been that guy.
Broken barriers.
He hasn't been that guy in a long time.
I mean, he was the first little guy to put the little guys on the map to win that MVP, to be that big. He put all the guys like Albert Pujols and Ortiz, he got above them, and being that tiny little guy, it brings a story in it, you know?
But he hasn't been that guy in a long time, Joe. And, you know, and every year it's, okay, if he can just make it through this, if he can get back from this, if he can just do this. This knee reconstruction may be the one injury that not even he can come back from, because it's not looking good. It's even for the most optimistic Red Sox fans, it's sad to watch a guy, you know, go through this. But what's even worse is we're talking about a Red Sox team right now, and this is where it gets frustrating for me. Talking about a Red Sox team that isn't as good as it should be, meaning they're going back to closer by flipping committee because they refuse to go out there and pay a closer. And they won't do it because they're right at that line. They're right at the luxury tax line, and it's crippling in Major League Baseball. And then you look at the amount of money that's left on Pedroia's deal, and you think to yourself, oh my goodness, you know, this is why. You know, this guy is getting paid significant dollars, and it's not going away anytime soon. In the meantime, you literally have a World Series worthy roster without a closer, and you're hoping for the best with Ryan Brizier. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that you're going to have a Red Sox team trying to come back and, you know, repeat as World Series champions. Yet one of your biggest areas of strength last year was your closer. And ultimately now you don't have one. You can't afford to pay one, but you're stuck paying Petey for the next few years at significant, significant dollars. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, talking about the Celtics, talking about Dustin Pedroia, expectations for the Celtics in the playoffs, and expectations for Petey as he's trying to come back once again from reconstructive knee surgery. And it looks like he's going to start the season not on the active roster. Talk about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI. It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. And you know, it's a short show tonight. Getting out of here at midnight tonight, I apologize, but I got a 5 a.m. flight tomorrow. And I'm telling you right now, when I get out of here at 2 and I get a 5 a.m. flight, I get home by 3, take a shower, put on my suit, and I got to turn right back around and come back to Boston. So Chris Curtis was nice, and he's letting me get out of here at midnight tonight so I can get myself 90 minutes of sleep, and I'm going to value each and every one of those 90 minutes. But talking about the Red Sox's opening day is quickly approaching, and, you know, I guess Craig Kimbrell's in talks tonight with, what did you say, the Brewers, Joe? And it, you know,
yeah, the Milwaukee Brewers.
So they're in intense talks right now. And I'm just, it's a shame because I know that he wasn't great. He wasn't sharp to end the season last year, but he was still one of the best closers, if not the best closer in baseball, when you look at the entire time that he spent here in Boston. And I feel like sometimes we take that for granted. And now you look at a guy like Dustin Pedroia, who literally did not contribute at all to a World Series winning team. And when you look at the contract and you actually look at the math, it is so bad. You know, he signed here through the 2021 season, so he doesn't hit unrestricted free agency until 2022. He's making 15 and change this year, 13 and change next year, and then 12 and change after that. He makes the Gordon Hayward contract look good. You know, and when you think about the money that this team doesn't have to offer a guy like Kimbrell, who is still a very effective player at his position, if not one of the best players at his position, they literally don't have the money to offer him. It's not that they don't want him. It's that they are up against the luxury tax, and in baseball, it is crushing. It's the same reason why they didn't bring Ruzne Castillo up last year, despite the fact that he was finally playing relatively well in AAA, and he could have been an impactful player here. But because he was making all that money and the Red Sox were at that threshold, they couldn't add his salary without completely breaking the bank. And it's because of contracts like Pedroia's that they put themselves in this position. So you better hope, if you're a Red Sox fan, that Pedroia has some sort of miraculous recovery. But I don't see it. And for the texters that say that they're going to play him at DH, that's fine. You know, you can DH him 40% of the time, 50% of the time, but you're going to get a slapping single, you know, forget about the power. The days of Dustin Pedroia being a legit power threat are long gone. So, you know, yeah, can he play at DH and contribute? Sure. But is he going to be your prototypical designated hitter? Is he going to be somebody you put in the four hole and expect to drive guys in? I just don't see it for a guy that hasn't been that guy even before he got he had the knee surgery. Even before that, his numbers were declining. You know, when you look at this deal, when it's all said and done, he signed a $110 million contract. We might look at this contract as one of the worst contracts that the Red Sox have signed to a guy like this. And it sucks because he's loved around here. He's, like, universally loved. And it sucks to watch a guy like Dustin Pedroia go out like this. But it's going to take a miraculous turnaround to get significant production from this guy at any point in the remaining few years of his deal. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we'll go. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Westfield. Paul, you next up here on WEI.
Good evening, Patio, and sleep deprivation. I sense for you in the morning. Can you take a day off? The lollipop factory's not going to crash.
Let me tell you something. There's nothing better than traveling this country with a bag of lollipops over my shoulder and doing what I love to do, Paul. I'm just a lucky guy. That's all.
All right. I don't know how you can sleep for 90 minutes. It boggles my mind. And then get up and do all that. How do you do that?
So tomorrow I fly to Chicago. So here's what I'll do. I'll get home tonight. I'll sleep for 90 minutes. I'll wake up, I'll shower, I'll get to the airport, and then I'll get 2.5 glorious hours of sleep on the plane. And I'm that guy, I fall asleep before the plane takes off, and I will sleep until we get to the gate. That's where I do the majority of my sleeping takes place on the plane.
Oh, thank God, I feel so much better. I'm just like you. I can sleep with a train next to me when I'm on point. So, oh, that's great, a plane sleep, you'll be okay.
I'll be just fine.
Hey, hell yeah, I got a couple quick questions.
What's up, Paul?
You hit the nail on the head. When Hayward distributes the ball, the second and third shot by moving the defense around, and the best shot, not my name shot, is how we're going to win, period. And when we do it, it's amazing how good we play. Why don't they figure that one fact out?
It seems like, Paul, part of this is the Celtics' fault and part of it is Hayward's fault, I guess, because it seems like every time they start to get comfortable with him in that role and everybody's sort of finding their new niche within this team, what happens? He winds up, you know, he tweaked the ankle during the All-Star break, and now he's out with the concussion. So it seems like every time they're moving in a positive direction with Gordon Hayward, there's been a minor setback. And now with just 10 games remaining, he's going to miss the game tomorrow night in Philly. It's my hope that he's able to play the last 8 or 9 games of the regular season and give this thing one last shot of finding that chemistry and finding the right mix of guys in that second unit to maximize what this team should be. Because one of this team's biggest strengths going into the season, Paul, was supposed to be their depth in their second unit, and it hasn't been there.
No, you're absolutely right. And the best shot, not the hero shot. I have two more questions. The first one is $450 million. For 12 years isn't necessarily the biggest of all time. It's numerically the biggest. It's also the longest time period, 12 years. If he's even around in 6 or 7 or 8, it's called really projecting. So how much is up front and guaranteed, and how much is on the back end of the decade later?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'll look up the details of the deal. It wasn't out there earlier today when they announced it, but I will look it up and try and get to that before I get out of here tonight. These deals, though, they're borderline crazy. And this is the way that Major League Baseball is going, Paul. But I don't know about you. There's been a lot of talk around Boston today about Mookie Betts and what he's going to be doing. I think, you know, he's going to get paid. He's going to make $250 million. He's going to get paid. But I don't think that there's going to be another $400 million deal kicking around.
No, absolutely not. And don't forget, J.D. Martinez is the bargain of the year. So this is the biggest question on Petey. At 35, as your producer knows, when he took a year off, when you're standing there at an 85-mile-an-hour pitch, it seems like in the upper 90s. Everything's off. He missed the last 60 games last year. And can we give him a little time to work back into it before we walk him off the cow field?
So, I can give him plenty of time to do that. And the good news, if you're a Red Sox fan or a Petey fan, is that there's plenty of time to give him because he's got 3 years left on his deal, Paul. So, he's got nothing but time. My point is this. I sort of couldn't believe my ears when it was Felger and Maz yesterday, and Murray was filling in. And it was the morning show here today, or maybe it was Dale and Keith, but I heard – you know, four or five Red Sox fans call in with legitimately high expectations for Dustin Pedroia to be Dustin Pedroia this year. And my whole thing is, you know, this team managed to win the World Series without Pedroia making any contributions whatsoever. So why not just go into this season, and if you get something positive from him, that's great. But it should just be considered, you know, a sort of a bonus because you didn't need him to win last year, and the fact is you're stuck with him. It's contracts like Dustin Pedroia's that aren't allowing this team the ability to go out and actually pay a closer. So you better hope you get something from him.
Yeah, the money to that for the next couple of years is rough on a closer. Here's my last point. I wanted to share this with you last week when you were talking about the thing with Jackson. There's something you have to understand. You have the right attitude. You enjoy the good memories, and you don't get into other people's bedrooms. But this I know for a fact. When that happened years ago, I'm in the press with a lot of people, and the lady who brought that kid to accuse him, she got kicked out of court prior, and during the court on the second one, the kid described the Playboy. He described the cover, but it hadn't actually been published for 3 months, so they got caught lying. And the people that claimed it this time claimed under oath in court he never did anything, and then now that he's dead, you throw the man under the bus, and they told him you're not getting money, but they actually pay them and tell him to say that. So sometimes things are not what they see, and after they ripped off his Live Aid money and tried to smear his campaign, that's what the devil does, because the devil's number one secret is wreck the angels and pretend I don't exist.
Yeah, again, I've done some, Paul, I appreciate the phone call too. I've done some further research after watching that disturbing documentary on Michael Jackson. But here's the thing. No matter what you believe, no matter where your faith lies, he was incredibly creepy. And where there's smoke, there's fire. There's something there. And there's no doubt. I mean, because people that say that they weren't raped by him, so let's take Macaulay Culkin, for example. Macaulay Culkin was never raped, according to Macaulay, by Michael Jackson, but he shared a bed with him for years. So, like, that doesn't sit well with me. There's just something way off about that. And my problem now is that I've seen the documentary. I have a hard time separating the music from the man. And maybe someday when the documentary's not so fresh, I won't have that problem. But for right now, it's off my iPod, it's off my daughter's iPod, it is out of the rotation in the car, and maybe someday we'll look back and we'll put it all back in there, it'll be fine. But for right now, look, there's plenty of other options out there, and maybe not as legendary and as great as what Michael Jackson was, but with his smoke, this fire, and I just don't need that in my life right now. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, my name is Patrick Gilroy, this has been fun. These two-hour shows are very, very brief. But I'll be back here again, not tomorrow, I'm in Chicago, but Thursday and Friday night. So we'll be back here again on Thursday talking about, you know, the Celtics team. What were they able to do going down to Philadelphia for a big gut check game? Not only is it a gut check game, it's a huge game in the standings as well. So for many, many reasons, tomorrow night is sort of a playoff preview for the Boston Celtics. Which addition of this team is going to show up? Is the team that is mentally tough and flip that switch ready to make a playoff run? Is it going to be that team? Or is it going to be the team that fell victim to a bad timeout call and a turnover at the end of the third quarter last night that ultimately buried them and took away any chance of them beating the Denver Nuggets at home? You know, there's two distinctly different versions of the Boston Celtics. Which one shows up in Philly tomorrow night is anybody's guess. We'll talk about that when I'm back here again on Thursday night. Until then, you guys want to stay tuned. It is the best of WEI that comes your way next. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Talk to you Thursday. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.